Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Tom Sasielka, who is a pro-life activist from Chicago, and he's going to tell us about six simple ways that we can help save a baby during this time around the January 22nd anniversary, the anniversary, the 44th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, when the Supreme Court decided to allow for abortion on demand in America. And somebody might say, wait a minute, Roe v. Wade only talks about the first trimester. Yes, but the Supreme Court also had a companion decision that very same day called Doe v. Bolton. Put the two together and you end up with abortion on demand. And now, some 60 million abortions later, we're still dealing with the fallout from that terrible decision from January 22nd, 1973. Tom, welcome to the program. Now I'll step down and let you get on the soapbox and talk with us about what can we do to remind people about fighting abortion and praying to end abortion in America.
Jerry, the amazing part is that everyone listening to this program can do something to turn things around when it comes to the issue of pro-life versus the abortion agenda. The reason I say that is that everyone has their sphere of influence. And today, whether you have a Facebook account, a Twitter account, a LinkedIn account, Snapchat, whatever that might be, that you're actively working on some online network where you're where you can influence your friends, families, perhaps even and coworkers who are connected to you, that's the first place to go. So, for example, a lot of times people who are pro-life are part of an organization, and you know it could be a regional organization. I mean, this coming month, even now, there are literally hundreds of marches for life around the country, in addition to the famous one in Washington D.C., where people are participating, whether it's Peoria or Pittsburgh or Sacramento or San Francisco, and these folks often are in those cities, and they can encourage people to first of all look to those organizations sponsoring those events. And one of the things about those organizations that are putting on marches for life this time of year is they often provide information about the facts related to abortion, about how abortion is not health care, it hurts women and it hurts their children. And many times you can go to your social media networks, pull something from one of these organizations' sites where they give you the statistics and the data with the arguments, for this, and use your social media network. So that would be, point number one I'd like to make.
Okay, what's point two?
Well, point two is the truth is on our side. And the amazing part about this is, back then when the Roe v. Wade decision came down, as you said also, the companion decision, which basically makes abortion on demand pretty much, throughout, the full, term of pregnancy. But the second point is, since we do have the truth on our side, is to challenge the opposition. One of the things that I've found is that now that we have this technology, readily available ultrasounds, even 3D ultrasounds, mm-hmm. Hearing the heartbeat, very shortly after conception into the baby's life, these are things that you just cannot deny. People often talk about people of faith. Everything is about their faith, their religion, their morals. Yes, that's true. We relied on Jesus Christ for our direction in life. But he also gives us wisdom where we know that the technology of ultrasounds helps us to make arguments. So what I would do is if you are in a community, particularly, and this is a case where if you're in a smaller community, you can make a difference. You can go to the local media, whether it's an online news source, whether it's the local newspaper, whether it's a forum online, and even offer to do a point-counterpoint with a local abortion provider or pro-life advocate, or perhaps even challenging what's going on at a Planned Parenthood in your area, and offer to write an op-ed, an opinion piece, and tell the editor, we would welcome a counterpoint. What do they see? Because right now, Planned Parenthood is planning events throughout the country to celebrate Roe v. Wade. And we can talk about this on the pro-life side, the counter of that. And again, these national organizations like the Pro-Life Action League, Created Equal, Students for Life of America, they have the resources, so you don't necessarily have to start from scratch with presenting your arguments and writing something, you know, in these forms. I'll tell you something that was amazing just this past very recently in Chicago. They had the March for Life Chicago, and throughout social media and neighborhood bulletin boards, people were debating with people in the city. And I have to tell you, Chicago is certainly not the most conservative, you know, pro-life population per se, but we're here, and we're certainly here in force. And as I was watching what was going on in social media, in bulletin boards, in neighborhood community media, internet websites, it was amazing to see the discussion of the pro-life advocates and the abortion advocates going back and forth. So even if it's not something as formal as your local newspaper or letter to the editor, you have these bulletin boards where you can challenge what is said at these pro-life, but the pro-abortion folks are saying. Interestingly, we had a situation in the state of Illinois where the ACLU was providing what they call a workaround, so that if an underage girl becomes pregnant, doesn't want her parents to know, we have here what's called a parental notification requirement, where about 24 to 48 hours before the procedure, the parents need to be notified. And interestingly, if you went to the website of this document that you can sign, it's written in such a way that no one in the government may even see it. It's just so ambiguous. So all you have to do is point out how much these other pro-abortion organizations are trying to even skirt the law, when there is the law, to encourage this, to bring up the debate. So that would be my second point.
What would be a third point? You're talking about investing in paid social media. But you give a very interesting example. Just tell us that one about the picture of the baby.
Yeah, well, you know, we all know life is precious. And sometimes we have to be reminded of that. And what you can do is you can simply create, and there's plenty of free programs online where you can create a Facebook meme. And a Facebook meme is essentially that picture with a word, or maybe a very small number of words on it. And in this case, I would say life is precious. So, for example, if you belong to the Iowa Right to Life, or the Peoria Right to Life, or the Sacramento Right to Life, or the San Diego Right to Life.
Got it.
You can absolutely simply take an image, put on life is precious, and if you belong to that group, you know, find out more, and then, you know, put in the, you know, the link to your website and share that with your folks. And now the thing is, the beautiful part about Facebook is, and you can go to their website and they can show you how to do this, for as little as $20 to $50, you can take out a Facebook ad, reach people in your demographic area or your designated market area. So wherever you're located, you can say, I want this message to go to people in, you know, South Bend, Indiana, and it will send it to those folks so that your message about your local pro-life group, reminding them that life is precious, can be very specifically targeted with a very low-cost Facebook ad.
Good. All right. Fourth point, you talk about holding an observance.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people look at these organizations, you know, like, for example, the March for Life in Chicago or the Walk for Life in San Francisco, and they think, wow, we can't do anything like that. That's too big. It takes too much organization. It takes too much money. Well, the fact is that if you belong to a church, any good Christian, regardless of denomination, usually will have a Respect Life or a Pro-Life or anything like that, where they firmly believe that life is precious from conception to natural death. And often if you get in contact with the person at your local church and you say, you know, we would like to have maybe after Mass on a Sunday or after a service on a Sunday or after a Bible study or prayer group, we would like to take a few moments in front of the church, lay a wreath and pray and talk about and remember the victims of abortion since Roe v. Wade became legal. A very simple way to hold an observance right at your own church. That's not very complicated. You just talk to a couple people, get some folks together who you're at church with anyway, and do this in the next week or so.
And talk about the small crosses, the small white crosses. I've seen those before.
Yeah. A lot of people, what they'll do is they'll get, you know, it's a very simple, carpentry project, so to speak, of either buying or just making, getting a small piece of wood, 1x2 or something like that to make a small cross, put it together, paint it white. And many times churches or religious schools might have an area of lawn where you can put up these crosses, and you can note the crosses. Sometimes people might even give a name on the cross to and say, this baby who was lost at, and perhaps name an abortion clinic that is in your community. So it makes it a little more personal. Sometimes people put these crosses, and then they'll have a reading, and they'll say for the victims of Planned Parenthood in Aurora, or for the victims of of this particular abortion clinic. And then it gives that visual reminder, perhaps for a week or two, with the permission of, putting this on a church lawn or a religious school's lawn, to do that. The amazing part is, what I'm finding is that this is going younger and younger. So you do have children even at the junior high school level, the high school level, who are very pro-life, who are willing to take a stand, willing to educate their peers, and putting up these wooden crosses is a wonderful visual to remind people of that.
All right. And the final of the six simple steps that we can do to try and get the pro-life message out there.
Well, this is one people use effectively, and it is where you can put, you basically create perhaps, let's say, a 4x6 foot sign where you talk about life is precious, save a baby, or precious, whatever the message is that we've been talking about, and you unroll it and you hold it at an overpass at a major intersection in your community. So it could be an interstate or a local highway with, 2 or 3 feet holding it. You can do some research online, places like the Alliance Defending Freedom, the Thomas More Society. They can help you understand your rights to publicly display these signs and literally put up a temporary billboard reminding people, even if it's a case of saying, end Roe v. Wade, or that life is precious, overturn Roe v. Wade, whatever you feel is on your heart. And that's a very simple way to reach sometimes literally thousands of people. And in some cases, if somebody, calls the local media and says, look at that sign, that even amplifies your message. And I would encourage, whatever you do, whether you do the sign at the highway overpass, whether you do a witness of the cross, if you have an observance, going back to the first 3 points, make sure you take some pictures, you take some video, and you post it on Facebook, and you make sure you share it, so that moment of 10 or 15 minutes service at a church or a wooden cross or even at the overpass is saved and shared with others going forward.
And keep it all positive. Okay, we have less than a minute to go, but just real briefly, why don't you summarize why it is important for Christians to be active in the pro-life movement?
Well, it's exactly what the Bible tells us. We know Scripture tells us that while we were in our mother's womb, God was forming us. And He knew us before the beginning of time. So we know that life was precious even before God created the heavens and the earth. And when abortion takes place in our communities, it's trying to stop the plan of God. And as followers of Jesus, we know we desire His kingdom to come, and we know about these precious lives that He's created and made and designed in the womb to bless us in this time. And we have to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. And that's why Christians need to be involved in promoting the pro-life message. And this is a wonderful time to think about it around the time of the Roe v. Wade anniversary.
Thank you, Tom Sisalka, for being with us. Website here would be tcpr.net. Thank you, Tom. God bless you and all the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.